Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
To you, Lord. Amen. 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 Scripture's coming from Hebrews chapter 12 today. Hebrews chapter 12, we read earlier in our responsive reading, verses 5 through 11. If you would, Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 11. Amen. For the sake of time, we'll read that one verse. Although our text today will encompass verses 6 through 11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11. Once you have it, you say amen, rise to your feet. Let us know that we're all on one accord. Amen. 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 God bless you. Bless you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11. Anyone need any more time? All right. It reads, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time and this moment, God, again, for this opportunity for your word to be shared. Lord, we ask that it would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done, opening up our ears, our hearts, and our minds that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. Father, we need you every step of the way and can't make it without you. Bless us, God, that we would be blessed, for it's in that wonderful name of Jesus that we... Amen, amen, and amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Got a question. You don't have to give me the details. I just want you to raise your hand. Who's ever got a whooping before? Who's ever gotten a whooping before? A beating? A killing? I don't know. They was called killings in my house, but somebody might say spanked. Okay, so let me ask one more time. Who's ever gotten one of those things in that category? Raise your hand. One of those, the whippings, beatings, killings, spankings, all of that. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. All right, put your hands down. Who's never gotten one? You've never gotten one? Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. That is awesome. Amen. Well, I got enough that you can borrow some of mine. Okay? Amen. Amen. A whooping, a whooping, a whooping. So since just about everybody here has had a whooping before, how'd that make you feel? Was anybody excited about getting a whooping? Anybody mess up in school, came home from school and was like, I just can't wait to get my whooping? No, nobody? Nobody. Okay, okay. How many people ever learned something from getting a whooping? Hey, amen. We got some hands. So the thing that you wasn't looking forward to, you actually ended up learning something from it. Amen. 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 Today's scripture, today's title for today's scripture is that everybody needs a good whooping. Everybody needs a good whooping. If you're writing down notes, everybody needs a good whooping. Now, let's see. The worst, I remember there's two distinctive whippings that I remember. I remember taking my mama's cigarettes and going behind the wood pile with my friend Lonnie Harris. His mama worked at Lorillard. We went behind the wood pile and we thought we was grown and we was gonna smoke cigarettes. So we went behind the wood pile and we lit up the cigarettes and coughing and everything else and all of that. And his mama and my mama called our names looking for us. He had taken her cigarettes and I had taken my mama's matches. So when his mama went to smoke her cigarette, she couldn't find her cigarette. And when my mama went to smoke her, she couldn't find her matches. So they called us, and when they did, it was a wood pile. He came out from one side, and I came out from the other. That was a whooping that lasted probably about 3 weeks. Because I got it from my mama. I got it from his mama. When my daddy came home that weekend, I got it from him. When we went down to church to my grandma, granddaddies, I got beat by folk down there. So that was one. The other one that I remember is I was getting out the shower. You know that whooping that you think you had gotten away from? Because they didn't whip you right then. So I thought I was good. And my mama didn't get me. And I was like, oh, okay, this is all right. But my daddy used to drive trucks. And so my daddy was gone. And so my daddy had come home that weekend, and I was getting out the shower. And as I was getting out the shower, daddy came in and closed the door. I was wet. Ain't had no clothes to shield me. And I don't know if you've ever hit your shin on the toilet or the side of the tub, but that hurts. Those are two that I distinctly remember. Two that I distinctly remember. Was not happy about it. Not happy about it at all. I thought we were actually going to be coming from somewhere else today, but this is where the Lord led me. If you look here in these scriptures, the writer of Hebrews, he's writing and he's talking about just that. I know it might be King James Version, it might be For Thou Art Too, and all that other kind of stuff, but he's talking about getting a whooping. But he's talking about not a natural whooping, but he's talking about getting a whooping from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and look at this. The second part of verse number 5, it says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. In other words, don't try to run away. Don't get mad at the fact of you getting a whooping. When you're rebuked of God, when God is giving this. Physical whippings last for a minute. I remember I got one at Lincoln from the teacher. Had one of those paddles with the holes in it. I got a spanking from him because I was pencil fighting. Coach Nance. I was pencil fighting. Me and James Willoughby. And I got a paddling in homeroom. And it was in the winter. And I stayed warm the rest of the whole day. But it only lasted for a little while. It only lasted for a little while. The pain from it only lasted for a little while. But let's look at some of the things we see here. Everybody needs a good whooping. Well, the question might be asked, why? Why does everybody need a good whooping? Well, if you look here at verses 6, 7, and 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. That chastens. He whipped, he rebuked, he spoke harshly to, he hurt their feelings, he chastened. And scroungeth every son whom he receiveth. Now that means beat, okay? If ye endure chastening, God dealt with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. It says here, whereof all are partakers. What this means is that this chastisement comes because of something that everybody has done. What do you think that is? Sin. Everybody in here has sinned. Everybody in here has done something wrong that deserves discipline. And so as a father, if my child is messing up and my child is doing something and I don't say anything about it, I don't get on them about it, I don't even sometimes beat them over some of the things that they've done, then where is the love of that father? Because that's the father's responsibility, that's the parent's responsibility to discipline the child. Right? And so if that can happen here on earth, it sounded crazy to me. It sounded crazy to me when I was growing up. Maybe you heard this phrase before. It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I used to think my parents was crazy when they would say those type of things. Until I had to give my child their first spanking. Until I had to give Sean, I don't know where he went. Sean, is he still back there? Sean, until I had to give Sean his first whooping. I was tore up over it. Because I was like, Lord, I might hit him too hard. I might break something. Let me calm down. You don't want to do it when you're mad. You know, all this kind of stuff. All going through my head. And I was actually tore up more than he was probably in the room stinging and going through whatever, but I was tore up over the fact that I had to do it. But I did it because I loved him. And I wanted him to know that whatever he had done at that particular time, son, that's the wrong thing to do. I've told you that's the wrong thing to do, but you went ahead and did it anyway. I don't know, you might fall into that category. God's told you, don't do that. Don't get yourself involved in that. Leave that alone. He's allowed you to see the red flags. You've had the little conversation, you know how they do on TV with the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. But yet and still you did it anyway. Just as though as an earthly father still can forgive the child, but there's still yet consequences. Amen? This verse 6 through 7, why does everybody need a good whooping? Everybody needs a good whooping because if you look here through verses 6 and 7, this shows a love relationship between the father and the child, between God and us. That's one of the worst things that you can get beat up over. Knowing that you've done something wrong, knowing that you got something going on. The physical whooping is easy because it only lasts but for a moment and it's gone. But a spiritual whooping, you know, that type kind of whooping that don't make a difference in whether you close your eyes or not, you still getting it. You know, that spiritual whooping don't make a difference in whether you done got away from everybody and you now in a quiet place, or yet you in the middle of work around everybody else, but you still got stuff going on here and here because God's beating you over something that you know you ain't had no business doing in the first place. That's why scripture lets us know there's a battle between flesh and spirit, and it's serious. Because the flesh seemingly always wants to jump over into that area of getting their butt beat. Why the spirit man says, no, don't go that way. But why does everybody need? Because what that does is it shows that love relationship between the father and his children. Amen. Between God and his chosen people. Amen. It's all throughout the Bible. You can look it up all throughout the Bible. You'll find out where folk got beat after beat after beat after beat. Samson, one of the strongest men in the world, got beat. Got a spiritual whooping. Job, finding out, hey, I ain't even got nothing going on. It says he was upright, doing everything right, still got a spiritual whooping. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Let's look at these next verses. Amen? Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? Amen. What does a spiritual whipping do? Why does everybody need a spiritual whipping? Because it helps to train you into obedience. It helps to train into obedience. If every time, let's see, what's something someone could get a whipping for? Running out into the street as a child. Ever got a whipping for that? Running out into the street? Okay. Maybe I'm the only one. Okay, I got a whipping for that one too. Running out into the street. Not that it was, but what's the reason that, as a parent, that you would discipline your child for running out into the street? What is the consequence? They get hit by a car, get hit by a truck, can get hit by anything for running out and playing in the street. It could kill you. It could injure you for the rest of your life. You might be lucky and be able to survive getting hit by a car, but yet and still, if you would have never ran out in the street in the first place, you'd have never got hit. So you might not have got a straight up beat down, but if you was ever as a child and ran into the street, I guarantee you, you got yanked, you got popped, you got something for running out into the street. God disciplines us because he says, I'm trying to show you the obedience of what it is that I've given you. When we pick up his word and we see different things, when he says, yes, follow this, this is what I want you to do, this, and we don't do it, there's a spiritual whooping. There's a spiritual whooping that comes along with that. Amen? All right. Verse number 10. For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. One, why does everybody need a whooping? Because what it does is it shows a love relationship. If God didn't care about us, he let it just go on. He didn't create us as robots. He created us with having the ability to make a choice. And so when making our choices, when we chose the wrong thing, if he didn't care about us, we wouldn't hear nothing about it. You wouldn't feel bad about it. You wouldn't get beat up over it. It wouldn't be something that's constantly on your mind. Even when you're not trying to think about it, it pops up in your head. Everybody here knows what their sin is. Everybody here knows what your issue is. Everybody here knows that thing that you try to make sure you stay away from so you don't get caught up with it. And no matter how much you try to stay away from it, yet and still there's a desire to do it. If God didn't care about you, you wouldn't have that feeling. You wouldn't have that shameful feeling of when you do it or when you're around it or when you hear about it, or it wouldn't bother you at all. There's a love relationship there. Amen? He disciplines us because there's obedience there. Why? Because there's obedience there. If there's discipline there, hey, he's helping us to get the obedience to follow his word and do what it is he's called us to do and not to fall into what the flesh wants all the time. See, this is the wonderful thing about God as being our creator. He created us and he knows every single thing about us. And so since he knows everything, single thing about us, he knows exactly what we need when we need it. Just as a parent, as a child, just as an aunt or an uncle to a nephew or to a niece. Why is it that the parents say that they know more about this issue or know more about that issue than you do as a child? Because they've been there. They've done it. They know the consequences of it. Amen? And this third thing here in verse number 10, as we look at this, is that there's a process that goes through here. For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. There's a process there. There's a process because he says, look, if I can show you the love relationship between us, if I can chasten you to help you to fall more into obedience, then you'll be on the road through the process of being holy. Not holy and perfect in your own rights, but because you follow Jesus, but because you've accepted him, he can present us as righteousness and being obedient to his word. But when we go out and we try to do it our own way, I don't know about you, there's several different things I've tried to go out and do my own way. I've messed it up every single time. Every single time. Every single time I've tried to do something without putting God first, it's never worked out. My wife's not here today, but I love her. I love her. And I've never been a husband before until I married her. And so I didn't know nothing about being a husband. I mean, I saw my dad and I saw my mom, I saw my uncles, I saw other folk, but I had never been a husband before. And so no matter how much I loved her and no matter how much I cared for her, the thing that I said that we're going to do first is that we're going to put God first in our relationship. Because guess what? She had never been a wife either. And I'm not going to say that everything has been perfect in our marriage, but whenever there's stuff to go on, we fall back on him. We can be mad at each other, but we're going to come together and pray because we put God first. I have a coworker. She had her last test. And I remember the other day when the storms came, when we had bad storms and people lost power and all that, she lost power at her house. Well, she had 5 assignments that were due that night at midnight. The power didn't come back on until the next day. So she missed all 5 of those assignments. And in missing all 5 of those assignments, she came to me at work and she was like, I don't know what's going to happen. She said, I didn't sit here and I didn't went through all of this and all this, and I'm just trying to finish up this degree and I wasn't able to turn to my assignments. So she was so worried about it. We were talking about it. She was so worried about turning in these assignments. I said, well, did you talk to the professor? Did you ask the professor? She said, yes. The professor didn't give no leeway. Only thing they said is that, you know, sometimes in taking a college course or maybe even in high school, they get rid of the lowest grade. So he said, well, hey, one of those grades is definitely going to get rid of because that's your lowest grade. So the professor, what he had done, had looked at her grades and had worked it out and said that you have one more exam. And if you make an A on that exam, then you'll actually pass the grade. But it was a subject that she didn't feel as though she was very proficient in. It was a subject that she was like, the whole time I've been in this class, I ain't never made an A on nothing in this class. And now I have to make an A on the exam. She was like, Kevin, how in the world am I going to pass? I need this class to pass. Y'all know what my response was, right? Girl, you better pray. I can't take the exam for you. Can't nobody else take the exam for you. Only thing I can do is tell you to pray. She prayed over the exam. She came to work the next day. She didn't even say nothing about it. I was like, wow, hey, how'd you do in your exam? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I said, well, did you finish it all? She was like, I took it. I don't know how I did on it. I said, well, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be all right. She posted Friday that she had taken the exam, that she had passed, and she's graduated. Right? That might not seem like a real big thing to somebody, but if you had spent the last 4 years trying to get your degree and now here you are, put God first in everything you do. There's a process that God allows us to go through. Bill not being paid. Don't know how my bill gonna get paid. My check ain't adding up to what's coming in ain't adding up to what needs to go out. I don't know how this gonna work out. But what I am going to do is I'm going to put it before the Lord and say, God, you said that you supply my every need. So whatever I need you to work that out. And right now, it's hot. I sure would love to have some AC. And I'm having some problem with this due power bill. And I need your help, Lord. It's hot. And I've been working out, and I'm hungry. And I done paid everything else off, but my grocery bill, Lord, I need your help. We sung a song earlier talking about some testimony. I don't know about nobody else, but I can give a testimony that I ain't know how it was going to work out. All I can tell you is that it works out every single time. I can't tell you when the last time I managed my checkbook. I don't even have one. I don't have one. Don't have a checkbook. If I had to write, if somebody said, you write a check right now for me, I couldn't even write a check because I don't have a checkbook. I don't keep up with it. I prayed and I turned my bank account over to the Lord. My prayer was, God, you said you supply my every need. So anytime I need it to be there. Now that's my crazy type kind of faith. That God, I just need it to be there when I need it. Now that don't mean that I go out and buy everything I want. Amen, somebody. But I do know that he said, if I delight myself in him, he'll give me the desires of my heart. And so guess what? When I do want a pair of shoes, I go out there and give him a call. God takes care of it. I got to do my part. I got to go to work. But God takes care of it. That's just my... There's a process, y'all. There's a process. Everybody needs a whooping. Everybody needs a whooping. What the spiritual whooping identifies is that there's a love relationship between us and God. What the spiritual whooping does is it shows us that God is directing us into a path of obedience. And what this path of obedience does puts us on the process of holiness. Amen? Verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Boy, amen, somebody. This process of chastisement is not a joyous thing, but grievous. Because when I asked who had all had a whooping, and then when I asked who all was looking forward to getting a whooping, then nobody raised their hand. Right? So that automatically that whooping didn't identify, that chastisement didn't identify as being a joyous thing, but a grievous thing. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, I asked, even in getting that whooping, after getting that whooping, did you learn something? Probably about half of the people that raised their hand say, yeah, I got something. Amen? It produces the fruit of righteousness in your life. I don't know if it was last week or if it was a couple of weeks ago, but I think I share it with you, that God has me in a place that I'm not looking at right. I'm not looking at wrong. I'm not looking at tall. I'm not looking at short. I'm not looking at black. I'm not looking at white. But all I want to do is be in a place that God allows me to grow. And I want to be able to see the growth. I just want to be in a place to grow. I've tried to being worried about what's right and what's wrong, and that didn't do nothing but cause me worry. That didn't do nothing but expose me to show me how wrong I was in so many different things. Be concerned about how somebody else feels or how this person feels about. I just want to grow. I just don't want to grow just for the sake of growing, but I want to grow because I want to be able to produce some fruit. I want somebody to be able to see the fruit that's being produced. Anybody like pears? Pears? Pear preserves. Anybody like pear preserves? Lord have mercy. I like pear. Amen. You ever seen a pear tree? It's usually not the most beautiful tree. You ever notice that? A pear tree is usually not the most beautiful tree. A pear tree that's producing some good fruit has some limbs broke off. Part of the bark is missing. You might even have some dead limbs up in the tree. But the reason it looks that way is because when the pear tree produces so much fruit, the fruit becomes so heavy that it breaks off its limbs. The fruit becomes so juicy that the tree itself can't handle the fruit that it's producing. Because when you see that pear tree, I don't know about nobody else, but as a little boy, my grandmother had a pear tree right beside the house. And folk didn't want to go out there and mess with the pear tree because there were bees out by the pear tree. There was all kinds of stuff by the pear tree. But every time I went to the house, I'd pick up a stick off the ground and I'd sling it up into the pear tree, hoping that I'd hit something so some pears would fall down. I didn't really care about the tree. I was interested in the fruit. What I'm trying to say is, if you're producing good fruit like a pear tree, you might have some bumps. You might have some scratches. You might have some issues. You might have some stuff that you've gone through. But don't let yourself think. Don't let the enemy have you think that just because you don't look like you can produce the best fruit, that you're not the best fruit producer in the house. We all need a good whipping. Why? I know that might be sounding crazy to some people. Lord, with me. Need a good whooping. Why? Because it shows a love relationship. It helps us to fall into obedience. It points us into the process of holiness. And after it's all done, we produce fruit. Not just any type of fruit. The scripture says, fruit unto righteousness. And I don't know about you, but if I was left to my own devices to do it my own way, righteousness would not be the choice that I make every time. If it was up to me, that wouldn't be the choice that I would make every single time. When my time comes, when the book of life is open, and he's going through and he's calling through names, I want my name to be called. My name won't be called because of my works. My name will be called because of my relationship with the Father. And we just read, scripture says that the chastisement comes from the Father to the Son because of their relationship. I don't know about you today. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you got going on. But life isn't easy. Things happen. Stuff goes on. We mess up. But it's such a wonderful thing that we serve a God that's willing to say, no matter how bad you've messed up, I still love you. I still want you. I still have this relationship. I'm just waiting on you. And so I don't know, as we get ready to go into personal decisions, I don't know what your personal decision is. I don't know if your personal decision, yeah, I've been through and all of this has happened, but today I want to get it back right. And in getting it back right, you may have to deal with a whooping. There might be something that God has to get on you about. There might be something that you're going to have to deal with. But it's not to your destruction. It's not to your failure. It's actually there to help you. It's actually there to make things better for you. It's actually there so that you would actually learn something from it so that you won't do it again. Last thing. My daughter Lindsay, as a child, when we would be in the kitchen cooking, Lindsay wanted to be in the kitchen. She wanted to look and see. She was only about tall as a stove herself, but she wanted to see what was going on. Well, right there at her eye level is where she would see the eye on the stove. And I don't know what drew her to it, but she wanted to touch it. Lindsay, don't touch that. That's hot. Lindsay, don't touch that. That's hot. Lindsay, if you touch that, you're going to burn yourself. Don't do it. Don't do it. And so we had this conversation several times. We was cooking one day. Guess what Lindsay ended up doing? She put her finger on the eye. Burnt it. I don't know if she still got a mark on her finger. She had a real good burn on the end of her finger. And although it wasn't a whooping from me, or wasn't a whooping from her mother, it wasn't a chastisement for us, because we were concerned that now she had burnt her finger. But there was a valuable lesson that was learned there. God might have already shared that this issue, this thing that you got going on, if you keep it up, it's going to kill you. If you keep it up, it's going to harm you. If you keep it up, there's a price to pay that you might not be willing to pay. And when God says there's something to be paid, it ain't like, you know, you got a bill and you just say, well, I ain't going to pay it this month, I'll just wait the next month. No, when he comes to collect, it's a totally different situation. It's personal decision time. Based upon the word that's been spoken here today, based upon anything that's been done,